Blog Talk Radio.
They said we could
stay in the cells at long.
Absolutely.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music, too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for you. Here in the country, waiting here for you.
Live from Ontario and heard around the world, welcome to In the Country with Dave Woods. This is the place for up-close and personal interviews, as well as great country music from our featured guests. So sit back and relax. Today's show starts right now.
Barrie, Ontario country artist Sherry Lynn's current CD has had three songs released to radio, and a new single is hitting the charts now called I Love Myself More. Sherry joins me today to talk about her music career and her CD entitled Can You Cut It? We'll be hearing a couple of songs from the CD, including one that was co-written by Victoria Banks. There was a video for that one as well, and we'll also hear the brand new single from it as well. My pleasure to welcome to the show Sherry Lynn. Hey, Sherry.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Good, thanks, and thanks for having me on the show today.
Ah, you're so welcome. It's great to have you on, and we had a chance to meet for a brief period last year at a CD signing you had, and so that was my opportunity to meet you and also to get a copy of the CD.
Great, yeah, it was fun, and we have a picture of that on Facebook.
Exactly, yep, yeah, I've got my copy of a photo taken that day as well, so that was awesome, and a lot's been happening in the last year with the CD. I wanted to talk about that and cover some of the stuff. First of all, one of the singles on it, which did very well, and there was a video on CMT, was the song Love Somebody, very catchy song, which we're going to hear a bit later, and that was co-written by Victoria Banks. Can you sort of tell us how you came across that song?
Tom McKillop, who is my producer for that song, pitched me a bunch of songs. He actually sent me about 150 songs.
Wow.
That I had to listen to, and that one really stuck out in my head. Now, I didn't know who the writer was, but I loved the song, and I was just kind of practicing it at home, you know, just singing with it and getting my little grasp on it. And
right.
Thought, you know, it's a great song to have in the car, too, because I seem to travel a lot. And, I, you know, the song that you choose, you have to kind of relate to it, and you're going to be singing it for a very long time, so you have to really like the song. And that was one of the ones that I was most definitely interested in. And now, I didn't know who the writer was, and I kept asking Tom. And we were actually in the studio with Aaron Pritchett. We were actually sharing the studio in Vancouver, and you know, I kept saying, "Well, who wrote this song? You still haven't told me." And then after we recorded, he said Victoria Banks and Rick Huckabee, and I thought, "Oh, well, Victoria Banks. I mean, she's a great writer."
Yeah. So was he keeping you in suspense with that?
I don't know what his thing was with that. He, you know, but either way, I was happy that I picked a song that she had written, because it just tells you how good of a writer she is.
Yeah, exactly, a great Canadian writer doing so well in Nashville and all around. Now, when you listen to 150 songs in that case, and probably more at other times, is it hard to listen to? Like, can you only listen to so many at a time before you just kind of can't listen to anymore?
No, actually, I love music, so every song to me is, you know, a little adventure, I guess you could say. But you kind of know in the first, you know, the first few bars that if you like the song, like, you know, if it's catchy or if it, you know, first of all, the I've really got to like the rhythm of the song and you know, the lyrics, I have to kind of relate to those. And it's a bit of a process. I mean, there's some songs that I really liked, but I thought, I don't know if other people relate to it.
Okay.
So you kind of have to pick something that that you're really going to relate, but that also others will relate to as well.
Other people listening, right? And as you mentioned, I mean, I guess potentially there could be a great song, but if it's not something that is who you are, that you can sing with believability, then it's probably one you have to pass on. You've really got to find not only a great song, but one that's a great fit for who you
exactly.
are.
Exactly, and for my voice, because there are some songs that I heard that I really liked, but it didn't suit me. It just didn't suit the way I sing, And, you know, this song really has to fit like a glove to the artist.
For sure.
To represent that song.
Now, the CD, I understand just from looking at it and reading it, was it produced in Vancouver as well as Mississauga?
Yes. The first producer I worked with was Alan Quello. Now, Alan was more of a dance background. I mean, he produced the Macarena, which was a huge hit
yeah.
in the pop world.
Wow.
Yeah, and I thought that was pretty cool. He also, he worked on some other dance mixes. He actually worked on a Michael Jackson mix years back. But, he kept saying he wanted to do country, but it was sounding more like pop, the album, which I didn't have a problem with it, but, you still got to stay in that country vein. And
sure.
We thought we'd try with Tom McKillop a few songs, and, I just... The production was much more what they play today as opposed to Alan Quello's productions, although his productions were very good. I mean, when I was in Nashville, George Strait, I sat down with his manager and in his office, and he listened. He said, wow, he said, the productions are just fantastic. Like, he thought they were great. And there's a song, actually, we were thinking about having as a single called Cowboy Boots. And he said he couldn't get that song out of his head, which was great.
That's a great compliment, yeah.
Yeah, it was a really great compliment. And actually, it was a couple of friends of mine out of Toronto that wrote that song.
Oh,
so, nice. The next album, like I've been writing myself for the next album that we're going to be working on this summer. And Victoria asked her actually about co-writing, and she said she'd like to do that and to set up a meeting with Sony in Nashville. So I'll be doing
that's
that.
A great idea.
Yeah, I'll be doing that very soon. And,
awesome.
Yeah. Well, I will also be co-writing with Keith Falese. We're actually in the midst of, tying down a time now. In June, me going to Nashville to co-write with him.
Excellent. And looking ahead to that project, have you thought about the direction of it? Are you going to stick to a similar vein with the contemporary country feel? Any surprises?
It's just what the mood you're in at the time you're writing and how the song comes
sure.
out. I mean, I've been writing things, and I kind of like, I'm outgoing, so I want it to fit my outgoing personality. I don't really want to stick to too many ballads or traditional country. That's not really me. I'm more a little energetic. If you ever come to my live show, you'll see I'm bouncing around on the stage. It's funny, actually, Jason McCoy called me the other night, and I asked him about co-writing, but his schedule is so busy, and it's just pinning him down, really. But he said he would be interested. He said if we can find some time.
Well, that'd be cool.
Yeah, it would be cool, but, we actually scheduled for the last album to write together in Nashville, and I made the trip to Nashville, but then my grandmother was in a car accident where she was killed, so I had to call him and say, I've got to go back home. So that was pretty devastating.
Now, you had a song that he co-wrote on your last CD, so you had a chance in that sense to record some of his work. That's included on your CD,
yep.
Can You Cut It? Yeah.
Yep, Crash Here is a song that Jason wrote with Odie Blackman, and Odie's mm-hmm. known for Martine McBride hits, and he also wrote for, I can see her face, she's going to be performing, I think, at Casino Rama soon. I'm gapping her name.
Leanne Womack?
Leanne Womack.
Leanne Womack, okay.
Yeah, he wrote I May Hate Myself in the Morning, but I'm
Not. Oh, great
right?
song.
Yeah, that was a great song. And, Jason's just a great writer all around and a great guy, too. So
Now another influence in your career early on, or I guess a few years back, Shania Twain. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that story, doing the, Shania Twain tribute show?
Yeah. I actually got my start doing Shania Twain. Always wanted to get into music. And found the opportunity when people thought, even though my hair was blonde, they said, I kind of look like Shania Twain, but I call it Shania Fever back then because, people would just freak out, over her. My hairdresser was a friend, and she dyed my hair dark because we were curious. And it was kind of crazy. I got pegged for Shania a lot and actually several times mistaken for her. So, it was an agency, that heard I created a stir at a bar where they had a Shania tribute playing, and people actually thought I was Shania Twain coming in to see her show, and so they asked me if I'd like to come work for them, which I did. And my first gig was the Markham Fair, and then they asked me to go out to do the Calgary Stampede. But I couldn't get 10 days off work. I had a day job at the time. but I took the gig and toured on weekends right across Canada. I mean, my first real gig was flying out to BC with the Dixie Chicklets and a Garth Brooks tribute.
Wow.
But it was a great learning experience, and ultimately I got invited on stage by Shania Twain at the ACC.
That must have been very cool. I was reading about that actually on stage with her. What was that like in front of a ton of people?
It was, I was very excited, but at the same time, God, I had so much to say to her in so little time.
Right.
And I think I blurted out a lot of stuff right all at once. And then she, you know, she kind of laughed and said, gosh, I think you know more about me than I do. And we laughed and, you know. But, I mean, you can see some of the footage on my website at sherrylynn.com. We've got that under the multimedia. And in my video bio, you can watch it. But then she co-hosted Canada AM, and I got a call from CTV to be a special guest on the show with her co-hosting. And then from there, she had got in touch with one of my agents and asked if I would perform for her family. So that was a great compliment, and that was actually came about while recording the album.
That's quite an amazing story. Let's turn to some music from the CD, and the first one we're going to share, we talked a bit about Love Somebody, which is a great up-tempo song. There was a video on CMT for it as well, and Victoria Banks co-wrote this. Do you want to sort of talk about initially what you were talking about the groove in that, but maybe what initially drew you to this song?
All the ups and downs about being in love and loving somebody, you know. You know, you tie it up and it comes unraveled, you build it strong and it all falls down. I mean, that was, if you listen to my whole album, Can You Cut It, basically the whole album is based on relationships and the ups and downs of relationships, because I've been through all that in my past. And there was no music, honestly. The only music that I can relate to was Shania Twain's Don't Be Stupid, of a jealous, you know, boyfriend type thing.
Right.
You know, but other than that, I mean, going through other, you know, things where, you know, I mean, it's probably the same with guys too. You know, girls, I'm sure, can be just the same, but, you know, just the, going out with guys and guys going out with girls, but they don't always tell the truth and they come in late and, you know, it just, you know, all the fooling around and, you know, crap that you kind of go through. But, you know, at the time, I had nothing to listen to that I could relate to that, and it was a tough time for me emotionally. And I thought, you know, if I ever make it as a singer, I'm going to have songs that are relate to that. And it was kind of a healing process that, you know, it gives you a little bit of backbone and you can move on. And especially now with I Love Myself More, which is the current single, I've met a lot of men and women that have told me stories about them being growing up in abusive situations and being in abusive situations where they actually had to leave. But for some of them, it took years for them to leave. And I hope that song gives them a little hope of loving yourself more and being strong for yourself.
Yeah, it's definitely amazing what songs can do. They're quite therapeutic. We'll come back and talk about more of that, lots more with Sherry Lynn. Right now, we'll share the song we've been talking about. This is Love Somebody here on In the Country.
Travel.
country artist Sherry Lynn, and the song is Love Somebody, which was written by Victoria Banks and Rick Huckabee. It's on Sherry's CD, Can You Cut It? Now, if you want to find out more about Sherry Lynn, you can head over to sherrylynn.com, which is SHARILYNN.com. Lots of information there and videos and all kinds of stuff. What was it like, Sherry, to shoot the video for Love Somebody?
Oh, it was a lot of fun because I love horses, and actually we used my horse in the video, and it's something like a little dream I've always kind of had to do.
Nice.
But it was a lot of fun. We basically shot the whole video in a day. We did a small little scene the next day, a kitchen scene with another fellow artist, Derek James Tilley, who cameoed in
the
video.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, great Barrie artist.
Yeah, another Barrie artist. Yeah, and but it was a lot of fun. I was really surprised because, you know, being in music, and I think we were touring at the time, or doing a lot of shows, and I hadn't ridden my horse in probably 2.5-3 months, and I was a little nervous that he was going to buck like a bronco that day. But no, he was really good. He it's almost like he knew. I think when he saw all the cameras and the boom, and I think he kind of knew and to behave.
That's right. Very cool. And what was it like to see the video on CMT? You were on there, of course. It was on there, and you had an interview with Casey Clark and all that to promote it. Was it pretty cool to see the video?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's always interesting to see, you know, yourself on TV and a good feeling of accomplishment.
Definitely, no doubt. Now, you've also done another video since for Play Now, a song that's on your CD and was released as a single. That video is a lot of fun, a lot of fancy or expensive cars in that one.
Yeah, that one, we had the Ultimate Car Collection supply us with a 2008 Lamborghini for that video and a few other, like an R8, which was an Audi, and a Cobra, a lot of really nice cars. We had a plane in the video, which actually I got to fly the plane.
Really?
I mean, you don't see that. We've got photos. I think I might have posted them, but I flew the plane, which was really cool to do. I mean, who would ever think of me flying a plane?
Now, had you done that before, or was it strictly learned for the purpose of the video?
No, it was, the pilot said, I was up in the cockpit with him, and he said, just grab the joystick there, and, you know, I kind of grabbed it, and then he let go, and he said, no, steer a little to the left, steer a little to the right. And
sounds easy enough.
Yeah, but it was funny, because we're flying along, and all of a sudden, he goes, are you afraid of heights? And I said, well, not really, because, you know, you fly a lot when you're in the music business. But he ended up dipping the plane, and I felt like I was on a roller coaster. And, whoa, my heart was up in my throat, and I was like, no. And then he laughed, and he leveled the plane. But I said, please don't do that again, or I'll be throwing up in your plane. But it was a little fun.
It sounds awesome, and our listeners can check out sherrylynn.com because the video is there to check out. It's a great one. I wanted to spend a bit of time on songwriting, Sherry, and you were talking about co-writing with various people. Can you think back to sort of your first couple of songs that you wrote and what that was like?
The very first song that I actually wrote was Can You Cut It? I was at a cutting show probably 10 years ago, and I wrote little things, but nothing that I actually recorded or anything. But I was signing autographs, and this man said, could you put to cutting? And then I laughed, and I said, can you cut it? And then I thought, that's a song. And on the way home, can you cut it? Can you rough it? Do you think that you can tough it? And, and just sort of wrote it over a period of a week, like with
And that was your very first song.
Very first song I ever wrote. So that kind of had meaning, first album, first song I've written. I brought on a couple other writers in the end because, Alan Coelho put the music to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always had the chorus, but he kind of put a beat, which was a little too dancey for what I was wanting. But, you know, I was influenced and liked it at the time when we recorded the album. So
sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool.
I love that one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's a real fun up-tempo. It's got that dance beat to it. So have you noticed your songwriting growing or developing since that time when you wrote Can You Cut It? Have you sort of learned some, not necessarily tricks of the trade, but sort of learned the craft a little more over the years?
You learn a lot in the sense of style. Like you listen to other people's style of writing, and I tend to listen to the style of other artists' songs more now than and compare. But
sure.
You know, I mean, everyone has their own style of writing, and I have mine, and I mean, I'm sure it will change. I mean, from what I wrote back then, I certainly wouldn't be writing that now. I find what I've been writing lately is even quite different, and I don't know how it's even going to turn out, especially because I don't know if I would write a song strictly by myself, because I kind of like to have another person's influence on it. I have written a few on my own, but I don't know if I would record them because they're more for a personal thing. I can see other artists cutting the songs that I've written.
Oh. So are there certain ones that you've written that you think would be a good fit for a specific artist?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Like there's a song I wrote called Have a Drink on Me, and I totally see George Strait singing that one. Yeah. And you know, and I've mentioned it to his management, and he said, oh, you know, bring it on. But I just haven't put it together in a demo yet. Just, you know, I mean, it's just really rough still. But
that's a great connection to have.
Oh yeah,
I've
got a lot of those in Nashville, but it's fun. It's just I love music, and like a very good friend of mine is Charlie Leuven of the Leuven Brothers in Nashville,
right.
And he still calls me all the time. And I'm going to be giving him a shout to let him know I'm coming down to Nashville in June, but we'll probably get together when I'm down there. But he's been a big influence to me, and he's introduced me to a lot of people. And Justin Williamson and Randall Curry are friends of mine, and they play with Brad Paisley. And now I don't know if they're going to be there when I'm there, because I know that they're going out on their H2O tour.
Right.
With
yep.
Brad.
Big summer tour.
Yeah. They said to get in touch with them when I come. They said we'll get together, but I'm just not sure. I have to go, I guess, on their website, check out what their schedule is, and figure it out.
No, yeah, exactly. Now, is there anybody you haven't met yet that's sort of on your list of country artists you'd like to meet?
Dolly Parton. I was so close to meeting her. Charlie, we were in Nashville, and he got me inducted to this rope thing, and he was actually recording with Dolly and Alison Krauss in the morning, and he said, I'll come and pick you up around 1:30, 2 o'clock, and I'll take you to the studio, meet Dolly. Well, he was a little late getting there, and then when he got there, there was a ton of people asking for his autograph. Like, I didn't realize how big he was. When I first met him, I didn't even know who he was. I just thought he was this funny, you know, this really nice old man who was always hitting on me. But you kind of have to know Charlie. He's hilarious. He's no harm, but he's a funny guy, likes to crack jokes. But anyway, he was signing all these autographs, and then was like, okay, hurry up, hop my truck. And it was a 45-minute drive to the studio just outside of Nashville, and we got there, and they said, oh, Dolly, she couldn't wait any longer, and she left 10 minutes ago. And I figured it out. She must have been waiting there close to 4 hours. So I thought, gee, if she only left 10 minutes ago, we were doing good.
Yeah.
But we did end up missing her. But I thought, I was telling someone just yesterday, oh, when I go to Nashville, I'm going to mention to Charlie about seeing if he can hook me up to meet her.
There you go.
That's the one I'd really like to meet.
So has she sort of been an influence, somebody that you've admired musical style? What a great artist, eh?
Yeah, I mean, Jolene is a song I used to sing at my shows. When I opened for Jason McCoy, I sang that song. Dolly Parton, I think, is an influence to everyone. The way that she's got such a great sense of humor. Randall Curry was telling me that he said to her, you know, you're so tiny, your waist. And she said, well, you know, things don't grow in the shade. Like she sounds like she's a real funny lady, you know, with a good sense of humor. So
that's
awesome. Someone I'd like to meet, yeah.
Perfect. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed that it happens next time. What about duet partners? Is there someone out there in the country music world, a male artist that you would really love to do a duet with? If you could record one for a project.
Well, you've heard of, Jason McCoy, I talked to him about doing a duet at one time, and he came over, he actually popped by our house when we were recording the album, and I asked him then about doing a duet, and he says, oh, darn it. He said he just took on doing a duet, I think it was with Kathy Corby. He didn't tell me at the time, but I heard a song that he had done a duet with Kathy Corby, but he said he would have loved to if I only had asked him a month and a half prior. So, you know, and I thought, well, you know, the only other person I've ever asked to do a duet with was I was almost going to work on the album, the last album, with Michael Knox out of Nashville. He produces Jason Aldean.
Okay.
And, yeah, I went down and I met with him, and we were talking about it, but we couldn't get our schedules proper. Like, he was working on with Jason Aldean in the studio, and then we just, when I needed, you know, we had our time frame when we wanted the album to be finished, but we couldn't start working with him until 3 months after when we wanted it finished because of his schedule. So that didn't work out, but we did talk about possibly doing a duet with Jason Aldean at that time when we were discussing working together. But, yeah, as you know, when those things don't happen, sometimes those things don't work out. But, I mean, he did contact me a while ago, probably 3 or 4 months ago, saying that he would like to work with me again. But, again, I think it might be his schedule. And Tom McKillop is such a great producer. I mean, he produces his daughter's One More Girl. Yeah, Aaron Pritchett, and I just love Tom. He when we saw him at CC Mays, he gave me a big hug, and you know, I congratulate him on so many things, accomplishments that he's done with his daughters. But no, I was talking with my promotions person the other day, and we were discussing. No, I think we're going to go with Tom again because he is a great producer and
good
and
choice.
I mean, and Kevin Cherko, he mixed the album. I mean, Kevin Cherko, he mixed the last 3 Shania Twain albums with Matt Lang, and he produces Ozzy Osbourne. Like, he's phenomenal, you know.
You got some good people around you, a real good team, not only the ones you just mentioned, but you're also with a great management team as well, I understand.
Well, I actually have been kind of managing myself, which I will be talking about. Yeah, I will be talking about it on May 29th for the Ontario Country Music Association. If anyone out there wants to come and learn about the music industry, you're more than welcome to come out to the mansion in Barrie on the 29th. Of May, and I'll be on the panel. There'll be some other artists talking about music industry as well as producers, and discussing about how to get into the music business. So, but yeah, like I've been pretty much managing my career myself. I am signed with 306 Records, EMI Music Canada, and I do often call up Louis O'Reilly and ask him for advice and things like that. But yeah, I mean, we do have a great team together. That's for sure. But until you're until it gets out of my hands that I can't do it anymore, of course, then you know I'll be saying, hey Louis, can you take over? You know, but I'm still at that point where I really still like to have a little bit of hands on everything I do.
A bit of everything. That's very cool. Well, let's turn to the new single, a brand new one released to radio, "I Love Myself More," and I believe the writers are Casey Kosel. Is that the last name?
Casey Kosel.
Casey Kosel and Billy Kirsch. And it's a great tune, and you touched on it a bit before. Do you want to sort of tell us a little more about the song, Sherry?
Yeah, it's a ballad. It's basically about a girl being in an abusive relationship and kind of sticking through it for a long time. And, you know, whether it's verbal or physical, I mean, there's both out there, it's no question. But either way, you're in a relationship, no one should have to go through that. And it's basically standing up for yourself and loving yourself more as opposed to loving the guy or girl, depending on the relationship that you're in, more than the abuse you're going through. And leaving the situation, and you know, and when that happens, they always come back and they try to straighten out themselves because they love you too. They just want to figure out what went wrong. You know, because, of course, if they keep dishing it out and you keep taking it, it's going to keep happening. You just got to love yourself more, and that's basically what the song's about. And we were going to shoot a music video for this song, but we had some problems come up with some equipment and stuff, and now it's a time frame for getting it out because the single has been released now to radio. So I think we're just going to hold off on the video for that and wait till the next album.
Well, very cool. That was a very good sort of a story behind the song. We'll share it now with our listeners. This is country artist Sherry Lynn. It's from her CD, Can You Cut It? And the song is I Love Myself More.
The girl I used to be, just laid down defeated and made you a pot of coffee at 2 a.m. again. But the way you looked right through me tonight, it just got to me. And that coffee pot went flying right past your head. Crash, glass, all over the floor. I bet you notice me now as I walk out this door. I can do this, get through this.
Brand new single from country artist Sherry Lynn. The song is called I Love Myself More. Beautiful song, Sherry, and your vocals on it are just superb.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
A really great job on that, and I know that song is going to do well for you. And so it's sherrylynn.com where our listeners can head over to find out more about this great artist. I wanted to ask you, is the CD, can it be purchased through your website, Sherry?
Yeah, actually, it can be purchased through my website. There's all different links where you can purchase it, like Amazon.ca and iTunes and all that great stuff. You can also walk into any HMV store across Canada and get it. If it's not in stock, you can just go to the counter and they'll order it in for you. It'll be in with a day or two. And also Walmart stores. But Louis phoned me from Nashville about a month ago and said, Sherry, you've sold out of all the Walmart stores, which is great.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they've restocked. I know I checked a few of them, and I forget where I was, but I went in and they had one copy left in one of the Walmarts. But the rest of them that I've been going into, they've been sold out. And they have no way of checking if they're getting any more in. But your best bet is to, well, try Walmart. If you can't,
sure.
If you don't find it in Walmart, then go to HMV or just order it online.
order it online. It's one of the new ways of doing it. Now, there's a song on here written by a fellow that I've done some songwriting with, Jermaine Brunet from up in the Sudbury area. Yeah, we've written a couple of cool tunes, and he recorded a great one. His called Read Between the Blinds.
Yeah, I love that song. When, Jermaine, I didn't know who he was. I mean, he approached me and said, I've got this great song, and I'd like to send you a few of them. And I said, sure. And actually, the two songs he sent me, I loved both of them. One of them was Climb, and the other was Read Between the Blinds. But when I got Read Between the Blinds, I had goosebumps. And I asked him, do you have a TV track of it that I could try my voice on? And he said, sure. So he sent that. And I sang it to my sister in my car, just with just my vocal and the music.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, my God, Sherry, look, I've got goosebumps. And so I knew then, because my sister is not a country fan.
Right.
She's more into pop and at an alternative. But when
so that
she heard
that.
That's
a good sign.
Yeah, that's what I knew, because, I mean, she's a good tester on things. So, I just knew. And I love that song, and I really wanted it to be a single. But it's hard when you're releasing ballads because, when you're sending something out to radio, it's not good to send ballads all the time.
Oh, exactly. Sooner or later,
but
they want up-tempo.
I mean, I was stopped once in a parking lot. Because
right.
I had that song kind of cranked when we first had the album come out, when you're listening to the album, and I was in a parking lot at a grocery store, and a man stopped me. Him and his wife were waiting for their taxi cab, and he said, oh, my God, he said, I love that song. Who is that? And I said, it's me. So I was really surprised, because I was brand new, and here he's asking me already who the artist is. He loved that song. He said, that's not like a Shania song. Like, he thought it might have been Shania Twain. I said, no, that's me. But I can see where he might have heard the influence because, of course, I've been influenced by Shania.
Sure.
But yeah, that is a great song. I love that song.
That is cool. Yeah, good for Jermaine and a great song that you've recorded. Now, what about a message for your fans? We've got some of them listening and just all your fans out there have supported you through the years. Sherry, do you have
I appreciate it.
Yeah, a message for them.
I very much appreciate all your support. I read all my emails that come through, and I want to thank all the fans that have, just over the years supported me and shown up to my shows. And any new fans, I look forward to meeting you. I'll be performing at this year's Havelock Country Jamboree.
Excellent.
In Havelock, Ontario. I'll be actually opening for another idol of mine, Tanya Tucker and Dwight Yoakam. Yeah. Dwight Yoakam, I really look forward to meeting him. That's someone I've really admired all over the years.
That's awesome. Now, in our remaining moments, I wanted to ask you, before I ask you the final question, I wanted to, about your live shows. You're talking about Havelock and all the places you perform, and you did mention a lot of energy is what you like to give the audience. Well, what's a typical Sherry Lynn concert like?
Just lots of energy. I like to see everyone up, having a good time.
Yeah.
And sometimes if the stage allows it, I'll go into the crowd. But I know, there's a few shows where I performed and there's no way I could have got off the stage. I tried it at one show. It was a festival, and I jumped off, and I actually kind of falling on the stage.
Oh, no.
People were probably laughing. But, I thought, oh, my God, how am I going to get back up? Because it was, 4 feet high, the stage.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I'm only 5 foot two. So but, I haven't played as small bars as I used to. I would like to, it seems that we're getting a lot of festivals and fairs and bigger venues like casinos and stuff. So, whenever the chance possible, I like to go into the crowd, but I'm very energetic. You'll see me bouncing around, get in the crowd. I love to give away stuff, so you'll always see me throwing something out into the audience, whether it's T-shirts or hats or something, yeah.
Now, what about my last question for you on the show, mm-hmm. Sherry? Favorite cover song? You earlier mentioned singing Jolene. Do you have sort of one, whether it's country or pop, a favorite cover song you like to do at your shows?
Oh, well,
if you can narrow it down.
Shania so many years. I mean, I always have to say Shania Twain because, she's been such a big inspiration to me. And
can you pick a favorite of hers? I mean, she's had so many hits, of course, up to.
I know. It's hard.
Probably hard to pick one.
Yeah. Who's Bed of Your Boots Been Under? I like that one because.
I love that one, too.
Because, I always go into up to the crowd and I sing to them. Like I pick out a man, and I'll sing. You know what I mean? And I'll get the ladies involved. And it's a lot of fun, and it's great because when I would do the Shania, I would really try to mimic her voice, and a lot of times people actually thought I was lip singing, or you know, they would pull the mic away from me and they'd be like, ha ha, like trying to talk into the mic. And then they realize, oh my God, she really is singing.
That's a real problem.
This past summer we did the Calgary Stampede and we were at Ranchman singing. Mm-hmm. I opened for J.D. Bixby and I thought I'll throw a few Shania songs in there. So I was singing up and there was a group of girls that told me they were outside of the tent. There was five of them and they heard me singing up and they went, oh my God, that's Shania Twain. And they said they ran in and they looked and they thought, did she dye her hair?
Oh, too funny.
My hair's blonde.
Yeah.
But they thought I was Shania and then they came up and they said, wow, you really sound. And it's just from the past mimicking, but I had to kind of lose that sound when you're singing your original, which I think
sure.
I sound like me, but
yeah, you definitely have your own sound. Getting set to wrap things up, Sherry, it's been a real pleasure speaking with you.
You too.
Awesome. Yeah, it's so great to catch up and hope to talk to you very soon.
Yeah, definitely. And thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're so welcome. Yeah, it was great to share those songs and get a little more insight into the career. My guest today has been Barrie country artist Sherry Lynn. You can check out her CD called Can You Cut It, which a couple of the songs today are from that CD.
And join me
this
on
wraps
Facebook.
And look for her on Facebook and all those other social media sites.
And
SherryLynn.com, of course. I'm Dave Woods, and that wraps up this edition of In the Country.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you drop by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music, too. Some time in the country, we've been waiting here for you, here in the country.